This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgara.
Hello, my friend Karen.
Hello, Chris.
How are you?
Pretty good. How's your day?
My day's been great. I dyed a couple pairs of pants bright red by accident.
Oh.
I was just experimenting. But, so I got a few pairs of red pants.
Wait, so experimenting sounds like you tried something,
yes.
But so it wasn't you had pink socks that with your white jeans.
I had a pair of gray pants and I had a pair of green pants, and I thought I'd add a little bit of red just to experiment. And they became both very red pants. So it works very well. It's a very strong dye.
And what are you envisioning your future plan for two pairs of red pants to be?
I think my future involves having nothing but red pants. I'm just going to be that guy. I'm willing to try anything now.
People will think that you're from France or Germany.
Yeah.
I just want to warn you that's very European.
Red pants
is kind of European.
And black and white striped turtlenecks.
Yes.
And
a little mustache.
Yep.
A crossbody bag
mm-hmm.
for men. Sandals.
Yes, I'm doing all that.
Small round glasses.
Yes. These, I'll start with these. Oh, good. That's good podcasting. I thought I'd show my new glasses.
People love visuals on this podcast. We're different than other podcasts because people love the visuals.
Yeah, we usually describe them while driving, but now we describe them while sitting, and there's less to describe, but we do not spare you any details. They are black frames, and the lenses are small, and you should see them. I did a golf tournament, a real one, on Monday. It was at a private fancy resort. Where
are you rich?
Everyone in it was a millionaire. Like, they all had name tags of a business that I was familiar with, and they were the ones that started that business. I drove into the parking lot and I felt like a Beverly Hills cop because everyone stared at my car because it wasn't a brand new all-wheel drive Maserati. But they were nice. Everyone was nice. And it was very fun. It was for the Heart Foundation. And at the end, I put my money in the pot for a chipping contest. It was just $100. And the guy that went right before me chipped the ball right in the hole and got $25,000. And he was a man that didn't need that money. And so he gave it back to the charity. And then
classy.
I hit after him and I made it about halfway to the hole. It was lined. We did the chip off in the eating area, the dining banquet area, still outside, but there was just a flag and lined with tables that were already set and people were dressed nice, and it was horrifying. And I chipped, I made it halfway, and they all laughed because I said that was embarrassing very loudly. Then they all laughed. And
great.
Then that guy, and then I went to my car and I cried a little bit, just a little. And so I was very close to winning $25,000.
It sounds like you were halfway close to winning $25,000.
Yeah, I did win. I did win the tournament. Our team won, but
congrats.
Yeah, but that's the trophy, not the 25 grand. But it doesn't matter because it was for a charity cause, and so I did well, right?
This is the second golf charity tournament story you've told me on this podcast.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like you're slipping into a millionaire's golf underworld that I am uncomfortable with.
Everyone, we went into this candlelit room. They had me put on a robe.
What?
We chanted. Yes, this was all part of it.
And tiny glasses.
I'm here to let you know about the inside underground golf world. And I'm still waiting to get picked up.
Just be careful. Don't be going around being like millionaires are nice. You know, to everybody. You can't just go back to the Los Feliz golf course and talk like
that. Well, I was trying to be open-minded, and I'm glad I was, because they all were very sweet to me. It was a very pleasant time.
I'm glad.
Thank you. That was an exciting story. There's a lot of twists and turns.
The part where they made you get on the ground and play, what was the thing from Succession? Piggy on the ground? Hog on the... ground?
Hog on the stick? I don't know. I can't remember that Succession episode.
Very disturbing.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me something like that. They made you wrestle somebody else.
They just...
a bus boy.
Everyone was nice to me, and I could have won $25,000, but I didn't. That's all. That's all. I don't need that kind of money. I'm very excited for our guest today, Karen.
I am too. I'm her number one fan. I think I told her that on Twitter one time.
I was just listening to her album, The Hits. And I related to very many of the jokes. And so I'm going to bring up those jokes, and it'll be very fun for her and for me.
People
for
love
you.
That when you quote their jokes back to them.
I'm going to tell some of her jokes, my version of them, back to her. And I think that will be fun.
She plays clubs and colleges all over this
country.
So many
colleges.
You know her from television shows. You know her from her own comedy specials. She has live comedy in New York City, and we know if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Jo Firestone.
Thank you so much. This is really a nice vibe in here.
You like it? In this Zoom?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, I feel like I'm in California.
Hey, where are you in real life?
Yeah.
I'm in St. Louis, where it's like 25 degrees.
Mm.
It's so cold. It's like everybody says hi. Then it's just not, but this is different. This feels different.
Yeah.
It's good. Are you both in California?
We are. We are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really does feel like you're a California friendship.
Because we're kind of casual, kind of like stoners.
You're like casual, but it's warm. There's a warmth. It's pleasant. I understand why you have listeners now, and I understand why you're going to get more listeners every episode.
This episode especially.
Oh, after this episode especially. But, you know, I think it's going to be, it really makes you feel like, well, things are okay.
Things are going to be okay.
That's the best review we've ever gotten.
It's really good.
Do you have comedy concerts in St. Louis?
What is that?
Are you performing? Are you performing your own stand-up shows?
I'm sorry about that. That's, of course, that's what you're asking. I was doing one show. There was a festival, and it was one night, and I did it. And then I live here, grew up here. And so I had to take my dog on an airplane. And so I thought, well, might as well not do that twice in one month. And so I just stayed here until days after Thanksgiving. So we're on day four. Day four.
Good times?
Yep, day four. Yep, day four, 14.
And so was the temperature like in the 25s when you landed?
Oh, yes.
So And were colder. You ready for that? Because
no, my grandpa told me it was 80. My grandpa told me it was 80 degrees. And it's 30. It was 30 when I got here.
Was he going by Celsius?
That's the only explanation. But even then, it's so cold. I don't know what all my socks are just. It feels like not wearing socks. It's so cold. And have you experienced this kind of cold recently? It's so bad.
I believe you because you're indoors right now and you seem quite bundled up with a scarf.
Yeah. It's drafty.
It's a real adjust. Well, because normally you live in New York. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So it's not like it doesn't get cold there, but it just hadn't really gotten cold yet. Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of left more autumnal weather to go into what sounds like a polar vortex.
It's a polar vortex. It's nor'easter. Something's happening. Like, it was basically like, you know that, like, you know when you're sweating on your way to the airport, you can't fathom that wherever you're going is going to be different than sweating?
Yes.
That's what happened to me.
That's you.
That's what happened to me.
I think we need to find out why your grandpa's lying to you.
We should get him on this podcast.
Oh my God. Where is the, can he come, can he explain himself? Is he the type of person who would want to explain himself or no?
You know, I think he'd stand by whatever he lied to me about. I think he would really double down maybe, but he's managed to go the whole pandemic, not one touch of Zoom.
Yeah. He's smarter than all of us, I bet.
Can you imagine?
It's easier for grandpas to do that, to stay away from the Zoom.
Yeah, it must be an age thing. Yeah.
I just think about the times I go, because I'm from Northern California, when I go up there and I don't prepare correctly, or there's been times when I've gone there and then had to stay way longer than what I packed for. And I end up wearing weird clothes of my sister's that she stopped wearing like 8 years ago, but doesn't get rid of. She just leaves them in her closet. So I have some weird like sweater from Kohl's that goes past your knees or whatever. And that, are you going to be collecting warm clothes out of your grandfather's closet? Do you get to get some old coats or anything?
Yeah, grandpa sweaters.
Oh, grandpa. Well, I found this sweater in my closet and I was like, well, this is a nice sweater. Why did I leave this here for 10 years ago? And then I put it on. And I was like, oh, it's like, you ever have a sweater where you're like, this makes me look like the worst shape of any human? It's like,
yes.
I couldn't believe it. It looks like a normal sweater. And then I put it on. Horrific. It's basically like aligned. I don't know if I could say this word, but basically it's like the sweater cuts off right at the pubis.
Sure. It's okay. You can say that.
No, that's fine, because you're a doctor.
Well, I'm a doctor. It's just right at the pubis. And I don't even know where that is exactly, but I know that's where the sweater stops. And it's just a fit that nobody's supposed to wear a sweater to the pubis. It's either below the pubis or above the pubis.
Or up there, yep. You don't want to hit it. You don't want to put a sweater arrow toward it.
No. What are we doing? We're not trying to go bowling.
You might have to while you're there, though.
Yeah, for real. With that sweater, I gotta go bowling.
You better.
I want to find my true love.
I get very excited this time of year because I have quite a collection of sweaters, but I am particular about how they are in the pubis area or just the waist area, the Diane Wiest area.
The Diane Wiest
area. She wears a lot of sweaters. Think of any movie with Diane Wiest. What is she wearing?
She loves a long sweater and a short haircut.
Straight sweater. Oh. We can't have it pillowing right above the waistline now, can we?
No,
we cannot.
Oh, but I'd rather, can you imagine having long hair and a short sweater?
That's the life.
She made the right decision.
Yeah. I'd rather have short hair and a long sweater, for sure. Oh. I did buy a winter coat. That just reminded me when you're saying the worst shape ever, where I just wanted a straight winter coat, not double-breasted. I just wanted it to have like three buttons down the middle, straight down. But I'm not straight down. And that's the thing I always, always forget, even though I've basically had the same body since I was 12. And the shape I took on putting that coat on was so hilariously bad because it was almost like in the front, it looked okay. And then when I turned to the side, it like billowed out in the worst way where I was just like, what was I thinking?
Is it because you're standing above a Marilyn Monroe air vent?
That's what it is. I put my fan on the floor to try on all my coats.
You got to be careful where you stop on a sidewalk.
There's just an idea sometimes that I get where I'm like, I'm just going to cover all this up and that will be the solution. And it isn't the solution. And I love that the young women of today are like, not only am I not going to cover it up, you're going to drink in every inch of my body. Whereas like, I just was not raised in that era. No,
I used to live in this neighborhood, and there was a store there. Then the first many seasons, there was this item in the front of the store. And it was, the best way I could describe it is clear buttons, just buttons, no fabric. The buttons were connected and it was a vest. What? And I was like, what?
Like clear, like it was made of plastic, transparent?
Plastic. Yeah, like basically like plastic clear coins touched together with metal. And it was a vest. And I was like, and then I finally walked by with somebody who was fashionable, and I was like, what are these? What is that? And she's like, you wear that plain?
No.
You wear nothing. That plain?
Wow.
So, like, it's your shirt.
Right.
That's your shirt.
But that's all you get.
Plain.
I got a sweater vest. My first sweater vest. I saw it, and I liked it, and I bought it. And I keep getting reprimanded for wearing a t-shirt under it. Apparently in my neighborhood, all the friends and passerbys unsolicited will say, that's a sweater you need to show off your arms with.
Wow.
Like a muscle shirt. And I'm not willing to do that.
Wow.
That style is so specific
But I've gotten so much feedback. It's like, what's with the sleeves under there? You got to rock the... I don't know why this neighborhood wants to see my arms. They're nothing to write home about.
Would you say over 5 people have given you that feedback?
I'm going to go ahead and say half a dozen.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's it's a skateboard brand.
That is over 5.
That is kind of a skateboard style now, that preppy, but with an edge to it. And so I think having a sweater vest and having no shirt underneath, it's a very specific, but I'm not kidding, a recent skate style. That's where it's coming from.
Wow.
I'm not getting this kind of feedback from like people outside that world.
But just like Joe's button coin vest, your sweater vest, I would not like to be experiencing that material on my skin directly.
It's itchy. It's not 100% cotton. I'm like, don't you know this is a poly wool, a galvanized.
You can't put that up.
Yeah.
Not on the belly.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
no.
And the chest. Dare I say the nipples? I hate scratchy nipple shirts. I'm sorry that I went there, but we already said pubis.
Oh, you went.
I know
there,
I did. I really
it
went.
It has
for
to
it.
Get discussed.
Wicked. They're just a wicked reference.
It is. Oh.
Wow.
It's a challenging time of year.
You know, yeah. But is it like in LA? Is it kind of just like. But you're always kind of like, do you really ever have to wear a coat?
Sometimes a wind will kick up.
Yeah, every once in a while there's a wind that comes.
There's a
and you're standing above
strong.
It. It's coming from the sidewalk. But I it will get in the 40s maybe at night.
Well,
and that's the moment. I'm not bragging. It's just, I have been cold lately. I do have a space heater blowing on me, on my face.
Yeah, because... We're so, especially lately, like the last couple years, it hasn't gotten that cold at all.
Yeah.
So this year, all of a sudden, it was like hot, 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 and it wouldn't cool down until, what, Chris, like end of October?
Yeah.
And then suddenly, when it drops, you're just like beside yourself, and you don't have any proper clothes. Uh-huh. Like I had to get online and find slippers and get them like overnighted because suddenly I couldn't wear flip-flops all day and night, which is what I've been doing for like literally 3 years straight. And then I'm like, I need to cover my feet, which is also uncomfortable when you first start having to cover your feet again. It's been, and I turn the heater on. It's very strange for LA.
Wow.
Yeah, I turned my heater on and somebody, it wasn't me, has been putting hair in it, apparently. It very much reeked of burnt hair. Like that time
doing?
We were on vacation in California. I'm from Montana originally. So one of the trips we went on vacation, my sister was blow drying her hair and there was a giant cricket that had been living in this hair dryer, my great grandmother's hair dryer. And it smelled and burned and a flaming cricket flew in her hair and did not stop being on fire. It was horrifying. We all screamed. And I've been afraid of hair dryers ever. You won't see me using a hair dryer. There's flaming bugs that shoot out of them. Did you know that?
No.
Well, you do now. That's how it is here.
That reminds me, and it's not a direct link, but I'm going to share this one anyway. That reminds me of the night I was sitting at the kitchen table typing something up, very focused, really getting some stuff done. And I just had a weird feeling, and I looked down on my shoulder, and there's just a praying mantis sitting there staring at me. And when I looked down like this, his head turned like that.
Yeah, eye contact,
like,
huh?
Like, turned. And we were looking right into each other's eyes, and then I screamed like an absolute lunatic, which I don't think I'm that type of person. I'm not like super skeevy that way. And normally I would be like, I think if it was a cricket, I would have been calmer.
Oh, yeah.
But praying mantises look like aliens. It was very scary.
And they always take it as an opportunity to slowly shadow box. Like they're ready to go. They're ready to throw down.
I will say this. I think it is like what is kind of disheartening. Like, I'm sure you both are, you know, going to therapy, getting changed. But I I think that what is really frustrating is that, like, even you can go to therapy for years and then those moments happen. So you're going to scream.
Yeah.
Every time something happens that I'm afraid of, I go like this. And I don't even try, but it just happens every time, no matter how much I go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You can't control just your plain old human reaction, though.
But I wish I could. I wish I could change it for the whole world, because it's not appropriate at all.
That's way better than screaming. A low, whoa, whoa, whoa. It sounds very calm.
Can you tell us a whoa, whoa, whoa story that's happened recently?
Like, my dog will get attacked. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I got mugged once. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like,
really?
Just really can't do anything else. And I think that if I could change one thing, I mean, you know, the list, you know, you go into therapy with a whole list. You say, change these. But that would be at the top.
Were you mugged?
You hand the list to the therapist. Change these, please, within 3 years.
Do that. Yeah, do all of them. Check it out when you're done.
Well, there's just so much to cover with a therapist, and you could be with the same one for years, and praying mantis has never come up.
Yeah, one time I was in an Airbnb, and I heard scratching. Mm-mm. I heard scratching up above. Looked up, saw a little paw come out.
What?
A little paw come out.
Did the paw have kind of fingers? Because that's a raccoon.
The paw had fingers.
Oh, that was a raccoon paw.
Was it?
I don't know. I never saw the rest of the body.
Because you were too busy saying, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You can't go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, 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 paw fingers.
That's the only one with fingers? Are you sure?
If you really, and Karen and I talk about raccoons and what I'm going to go ahead just call hands way too often on this podcast. There's a famous one. I'm sure you've seen it, Joe. It's a raccoon scooping up a bunch of cat food and running away on its hind legs. It might as well have been wearing a tracksuit. It's the cutest thing ever, but they're unpredictable. They'll jump right at your face. I've learned from a handful of comedy movies. I fear them, and they're not. The reason I'm scared of them is they aren't scared of humans.
No.
Yeah.
At least a bear is like avoids you. Raccoons.
What was your raccoon paw reaching down for?
Yeah.
I think he just was kind of like, I'm up here.
Just wanted a high five.
Yeah, just kind of like, hey, but then, the tricky thing was, I'll tell you this, is that I was, you know, I was saying, oh, you got to get this thing out of here, right? And so they moved me out for a bit, and then I came back. And when I came back, there was a pair of underpants.
No.
On the ground.
Please tell me it was the raccoon's underpants.
Little tiny guys.
Oh, God, that'd be great. No, I'm afraid they were human.
They were a beautiful woman's underpants.
Oh, no, like they fell out of the guy's pocket? I'm just guessing, but I'm afraid that's what happened.
I mean, it's hard to know what happened, but they, you know, when you see a pair of underpants and you think, oh, a beautiful woman must wear these.
Some gorgeous polyester, maybe light pink polyester.
It's just beautiful. I do believe it, had a, like, kind of a leopard theme.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, just beautiful.
I hate talking visuals, but right, I'm currently wearing leopard underpants and leopard pants.
What, both?
Yeah, it's just funny that you mentioned that. Did I tell you, Karen, about the time that I was doing a corporate
show? Hold
on. Show?
Yeah, can we
stand
come,
up?
Can we, sorry, oh, can
yeah,
we come
sure,
back?
Sure.
Yeah, you're sure. Not.
Yeah. These are.
Here we go.
Leopard.
There he is.
They're green.
Wow.
Leopard, oh. And then my underpants are.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. He really is. See, listener, he really is.
A lot
He's
of people think
lying.
I tell tales out of school or that I'm one of these liars, but am I telling
no,
you I'm wearing two layers of leopard?
Think you're a liar?
Yeah.
A lot of people?
A lot of millionaires.
Yeah,
calling.
I always keep running into these fact checkers and I always have to show them my underpants. I was doing a corporate show for some home mortgage company years ago. It was before, it was around 2007. I think I caused the financial crisis.
That was
it.
You?
That was me.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
Fannie Mae and Ralphie Mae. Fannie Mac. I don't, you know what I'm saying. This, they asked me at this private comedy show to do an impression of their boss. So they brought a gray wig and a long trench coat. And I was like, well, I haven't even talked to him. Just be, have a low voice, like you smoke a lot of cigars and be really confident and just say, fire some people or something, just because everyone's kind of scared of the guy. And I put my hand in his real jacket pocket and there was women's underwear in the pocket. And I made a joke like, oh, my secretary needs to... I improvised the wrong thing because I think, in fact, that's exactly what the case was. And his wife ran out. I ruined Christmas. I ruined this private event. I've never hired back at the Addison Improv ever again. I've never worked there since. I ruined a marriage. I caused the financial crisis.
You certainly
of 2008.
Did not ruin that marriage. You were merely.
It was already on the rocks.
He ruined his own marriage.
He wanted to get caught.
Oh, my gosh.
But they had his jacket. It wasn't the jacket he was wearing. He didn't know this. He wasn't like, oh, won't that be funny? I never got a clear story as to what happened. I just know he and his wife were not there at the end of the show. That just, I don't think I've ever told you that one, Karen.
No, I've never heard
I'm
that.
I'm usually That's like a broken hot. Record with my stories, Joe. And that one is a fresh... Never before.
Fresh hot goss, but from years ago, but still fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh in my mind. I've suppressed it until now.
Because when you said you reached into the pocket, Joe, I don't know if you did this, but my comedy brain went through the Rolodex of the possibilities, and I was hoping maybe a little bag of cocaine. Something fun for Christmas.
See,
right? That, like, you go, oh, you shouldn't have that, but also at the same time, if you're some sort of... Running a company, maybe that's
I could have been clever
doing.
And said, let it snow, am I right? You know, like...
oh, that's so clever. What would you say? Okay, let's just kind of go for this. What would you say if you found a big bag of pot in there?
We all know the Christmas colors are red and green, but this green is going to send you to jail. You can't buy anything with it. And then they'd start to boo. Oh, you really put me on the spot there, Joe.
I think you did the perfect, no, you did the perfect answer.
You had to this is improv. You had to throw something out.
I know.
I would have held it up and said, what's up, Cheech and Chong?
See, that's way better. It's relatable.
But I had literally half a minute more than you did.
Yeah.
I got to sit there and think while you were talking.
You should have yelled freeze and tapped my shoulder and taken over.
Joe, what would your off the cuff remark have been about the bag of weed?
There's a handgun. Now I'm gonna mix it up. I'm changing.
Oh, it's a handgun?
Yeah, a little tiny gold gun.
Oh, a gold gun.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe something kind of about Men in Black.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, looks like somebody's about to shoot aliens. That would go well, I think.
I do too.
Yeah, that's quick too.
Yeah, pretty quick reference, right at the tip of everybody's tongue.
Yeah,
and topical, yeah. or at least cultural.
Yeah, people are always watching that movie. When's the last time you watched Men in Black in full?
I can tell you actually, because it's the first time I watched it was the most recent time I watched it. So whenever that was, 2000, but me and my sister and the guy I was dating at the time were all at the movie theater together, and the guy was kind of super low key, and my sister and I are like me, and I'm like her and she's like me, and when that part where the pug starts talking in the real deep voice. You know that part? And he's also, he sings the song, he raps the song. My sister starts laughing so loud and so hard, and she can't stop. Like it just kind of tickled her funny bone perfectly. And she was laughing so hard that everyone else started laughing. And people weren't liking it that much, but she was like, if I bring it up to her, she starts laughing just as hard today, 20 years later. Cause she's like, you're telling me that little dog didn't make it. She still to this day thinks it's the funniest thing she's ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, you can really change. Everyone always wants me to see The Matrix. And everyone loves that movie. And I was the only one that didn't because I saw that in a theater and there was a deaf person in the audience. So they had captions at the bottom, but they were coming up a little soon. So it would say... Like, I think one of Keanu's lines in it is okie dokie. And so it said okie dokie at the bottom for a long time. And then when he finally said it, everyone laughed. Like, it was, we were all watching a comedy. Everyone would laugh through all of The Matrix because of this caption snafu.
Wow.
And then years later, everyone's like, oh, it's one of the best movies ever made. And I'm like, but it's hilarious, right? No, only to me and the people I watched it with.
It is amazing, though. I think, like, it's so much easier. I find it's, like, so much easier to watch comedy movies and comedy TV with a group. Like, by myself, I find myself feeling like I should be in jail. Like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, and I enjoy it. And this is my face, like, straight line across the mouth. And I can't. It's just so much easier to laugh around other people.
Yeah, True. Feel insane if you're by yourself laughing in a room alone, no other people nearby. It seems like that's what someone does, rocking back and forth in a padded room. I'm with you on that.
Once every couple of years I'll watch Veep, and like I'll kind of forget it. But then the same joke makes me laugh for like 10 minutes. But it's just this one joke. I think it's in season 3. And it really gets me. Every time I always forget it's coming. And then I remember, oh, it's coming. And then we get a good 10-minute laugh out of it.
Which one is it? Just say it.
Okay. Well, she says she's trying to make small talk. And her, Gary's kind of abandoned her. And she's really desperately trying to make small talk. And she's like, someone says their name. And she goes, and I forget what the name is, but she goes, oh, I wish I had a cousin with that name. That's the worst small talk. It's the worst.
I like jokes like that where when you hear it, the first thing that popped in my mind is whoever wrote that joke actually said that one time.
Yeah.
Right? They're just like, when you're going around a room like that of like, what's the dumbest thing we could say here? And then everyone just starts saying the dumbest thing or the most embarrassing thing that held for years afterwards. Like one time in junior high, I said this.
Yeah, that was a day in the writing room where they all told embarrassing stories and they probably had fun at their little table.
I wish I had a cousin with that name.
a really special one. But it just that you both laugh at comedy.
I do.
Wow.
And I found I was paying attention to it more when we were all in quarantine, and I was monitoring my behavior pretty closely because I was really afraid I was going to go crazy. But I have to say I kind of enjoyed myself, and that included laughing out loud at a lot of things.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I laughed the hardest I laughed was at that that moment in Schitt's Creek where the mom makes up that story about a biker that cut off all her daughter's hair because she's trying to scare off this guy that was going to give the hotel a bad review. And the story she comes up with all off the top of her head is, I watched it over and over and over and I kept laughing at Catherine O'Hara's made up story. It is the funniest. To me, that and her scat singing make me laugh.
The best.
Harder than anything that I can think of currently.
Mine was, if I may, mine was
please go.
Arrested Development, because I've rewatched Arrested Development. In the past 3 years, I think I've watched it 8 times. And like the last time I went to start it again, I was like, I think I said out loud, like, you've lost your mind. This is too many times. But it isn't too many times because I think a lot like Veep, where they have such subtle jokes and so many jokes that you miss them entirely, like the first several times you watch them. So there's an episode where Tobias David Cross is getting ready to go do a part on a, like on an actual set, I think. And someone says, oh, do you have to bring your own costume or something like that? And he goes, oh, you know, these television shows, it's all about the detail. And then he opens up a cupboard and there's a used Starbucks cup. It's empty, except for there's a used Starbucks cup on the second shelf. And he just sits there and then he just closes the cupboard. And it is so subtle that the first time I saw it was like the third time I watched the series in its entirety. And I laughed for so long. And then a little while later, George Michael opens a different cupboard and he's like, it's just his action while he's saying something else. And he reaches up when he opens the cupboard, there's one Nature Valley granola bar sitting on a shelf and nothing else in the entire thing. And he just takes it down like that's his snack. It's so hilariously perfect.
That makes me think that was something where, again, someone hid that up there and it wasn't, they didn't know what was going to be there. That was another fun day in the writing room. God, I got to get in one of these writing rooms.
I mean, we can't actually be talking about hilarious television shows, though, Joe, without talking about Joe Pera Talks With You.
I knew it.
Oh, well, what a transition. Gorgeous.
I was looking for a way to make it.
Kind of pro.
We're both big
That's
fans.
That's very pro. Oh, my gosh.
It's just such a good show. Yeah. I mean, tell us about everything about it that you feel and think. Please.
Well, they gave my dad his television debut.
I love that.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, what episode was he in? Was it the bean?
He's in the grocery store episode. He plays Fred the Sample Guy. He gives out honey ham that tastes like honey.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And he got to fly in season 3. So he had a pretty good time, all in all.
So good. And so you were on it and you wrote on it, right?
Yeah. But it was kind of like, I think at the time we were all like, some of us had like a couple of years of late night experience, but that was about it. Like I think we had a combined maybe 2 years of television making that we had all together too.
Yeah.
And so everybody, we were all like, I can't believe it even got made because it was like, we were just like a bunch of monkeys at typewriters. Like we were really, it was also just like Joe, he gets like very passionate about things like truly about beans.
Yeah.
Or like rat wars. And like, he won't stop talking about it. So then it's kind of the game is just like figuring out how to make a story around him actually being very passionate about a thing that I do believe no one else cares about.
I want to assume, and I do assume, he's probably 100% the person he is on that show in real life.
Yeah, I think he's like, you know, he's like a city guy. You know, like he like lives, you know, he's like, I think maybe he does grow tomatoes, but he's, yeah, I'd say he's a little, you know, he's a dirty comedian just like the rest
sure,
of us.
Sure, so he's 90%. Good. Okay, that's even better.
Yeah, but I don't know. He might go to church. Hard to say. But yeah, he's
just for the friendships he's built there.
Yeah. His friend group is through the church, but I don't know if he has. No, but he's
It's to counterbalance the people he spends time with at night at comedy shows. He has to. The first time I ever met him was at a comedy show at Ron Lynch's Midnight Show.
Oh, that's a great show.
It's the best. I miss
it. Is it still going?
I think it is, actually. Oh, wow. I think he might be doing it at the Elysian, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Oh, that's such a great show.
But Joe was in town, and he was doing a set. Now, I grew up on a street called Eucalyptus Avenue, and it was way out in the country. It was like 5 miles out of town. And also, it had a eucalyptus grove on it. So between our house and my Aunt Jean's house was our next-door neighbor, but they lived like half a mile away. We'd walk up the road, and because of the eucalyptus grove, all the acorns would fall or whatever, and there would be little caps on the ground, and you would pick them up and whistle into them. And that was just like, it was, no one even taught us how to do it yet. Every kid knew how to do it. It was just kind of like weirdly the thing. Joe Parra gets on stage at Ron's show, and he was just like, "Hello, everybody. I'm going to teach you how to make a whistle out of an acorn cap." And I'm standing on the side just there to watch him, and I fucking started crying. Yeah. I was like, whoever this guy is, whatever the fuck he is doing, I am so 100% into it. And he literally taught everybody how to use a acorn cap to whistle and then left the stage. No one knew what the fuck was going on. They couldn't figure out if it was a character. They didn't know what. And I was just like, yes, I'm here for this. It made me so fucking happy. And it was so wholesome and so sweet. And also kind of that thing of like, when people do stuff like that for me in laced into comedy shows where everybody's trying to be a bigger, tough guy, a cool girl, whatever. Everybody's trying to be edgy or whatever thing they do. When it's run through with people who actually are just kind of showing up as themselves and like, I have an idea. It's like, oh, this is what I got into it for. This is like, I don't know. It made me so happy. And then like basically everything I've seen him do after that, I'm just like, that's fucking acorn cap. Now he's on TV. But actually it did not seem like a TV show that people who didn't know how to make TV made, because there are some episodes of that. When he babysits that little fucking girl and they do fireworks, it's the most beautiful episode of television I've seen. Like there's so much good shit in that show. It's so good.
I think that it's like everybody had to learn really quick. And I think that given what we knew beforehand, I think it turned out better than it should have. But it was definitely like a big learning curve. It was like, also the acting was just like kind of more than a lot of us had ever done. It's like we were used to doing like web series and stuff. So it's like, you're like, oh, I gotta stay here forever. Like you see all these snacks. You're like, do I get to eat all these snacks? And then you eat all the snacks, and then you're like, I'm sick. And they're like, you can't leave. And you're like, but I'm sick because I ate too many. You know, you just kind of don't know yet.
Right.
I ate a big bag of Cheetos. Apparently, you're really not supposed to do that as an actor. Then you have orange hands in the next take.
On camera.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And your character didn't really go eat Cheetos. So
that's a continuity issue.
There's a continuity issue that's pretty, pretty bright. And so
you wipe them off on the back of your chinos, and then there's that problem.
Yeah, then you got orange. You know, it's just kind of, where's the orange gonna go? It's tricky, you know.
And you try and suck it off your fingers, and it just turns to cement. Orange cement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Have you figured out how to eat Cheetos in a way that's okay to do in front of other people?
I, if you don't mind me going first, I get a paper towel, and I put them in the paper towel in my cupped hand, and I just kind of scoop them in with the paper towel hand.
With the mouth.
Like you're a horse?
Like a horse. Like I'm feeding myself, but myself as a horse. And I, instead of hooves, I have hands. It works great.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. That's what I do.
And you do that in front of other people.
I know. I think for me, and I think they should be for everyone, Cheeto consumption is a private matter.
Mm-hmm.
it should be dealt with without others. But you end up at a party and it's always in a bowl, and then I want to hug people.
Well, here's the thing. When they're in a bowl at a party, there's too much moisture in the air. And so if you think you're going to enjoy one that you pull out of a public bowl, you're high as a kite, which actually might help. But for me, if I were to do that, I would only eat one and I'd be like, amazing. And I'd pretend that's all I wanted. When in fact, I had just started that sodium, like heroin hit, where then you just want 800.
Yeah.
So I would probably avoid that publicly, but in private, I would go straight out of the bag. And for some reason, because of the way that Cheetos are shaped, because I only like the crunchy ones.
Yes. Well, you're normal.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I think the puffed ones are weird.
Yeah.
Too artificial.
I hold them and then I hold my other three fingers up like a fine British lady. So I kind of eat them like that, like, dainty, but like a dainty pig.
I hold mine like a little club because every Cheeto reminds me of Captain Caveman's little club.
And so you hold it with your whole fist?
Yeah. And I go, Captain Caveman. And then I throw it into my mouth like I'm striking my face.
Yes.
That's a private. Well, why are these parties you go to all wet in the air? Is it because of the dancing and kissing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
They're dirty dancing parties where everybody reenacts.
High octane makeout parties.
That's awesome. It's in LA.
Yeah. Have you been here yet?
You gotta
come and go to the parties.
You gotta come and party. Wait, Joe, how do you eat Cheetos crunchy?
You know, here's what I found that the last two times I've seen them in public, I have eaten them.
Yeah.
And then no matter what, something is wrong with my hands because it's almost like none of the cheese remains on the chip into my body. It's all on the hand.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of wonder if there's a way to get it off. And sometimes I think, well, maybe there's a way to get it off just if I go like this enough, you know, and that's, I think that's, you know, that people can hear that, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't come off and I have to excuse myself.
Yeah, you could rub your tips together and roll off the tiny little cheese worms.
That's right.
Tiny little cheese worms. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I was at a loss for words, but it is rubbing your tips together to get off the little cheese worms.
Yeah.
That was the expression I was looking for desperately.
Searching for that expression, that very well-known expression.
It's actually rubbing your tips together to get off the little cheese worms.
Ridiculous. Is there anything that you, being in St. Louis, that you're excited? Because it's funny, my friend just came back from St. Louis and he made me and my other friend St. Louis style pizza, and he brought back the pizza crusts, the sauce, and he bought that special cheese. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What'd you think of it? Provel, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was really good. It was almost like having an appetizer for dinner, which I'm always down for anything that changes it up like that in such a fantastic way. But I really loved it. And he actually bought it there, packed it with ice packs.
Wow. That's
and brought it home to us. I know.
Yeah. St. Louis is like really, I'd say the proudest part of St. Louis is the heavy F's.
Really? Are there other ones?
Oh, yeah. There's a deep fried ravioli they call toasted ravioli.
I've had it. I had it at the Helium there.
Yeah. You had it. The toasted ravioli.
Yeah.
That's a very good one. And there's this thing called gooey butter cake. And that's kind of like...
My friend brought us that. It's I have half in my kitchen right now.
Well,
I got
to keep
it.
Good friend.
I know. Zach Noe Towers. He's a Canadian.
I was on the same festival as him.
Oh, was it in St. Louis?
Yeah. And he's from St. Louis too, I just learned.
Yeah, that's the friend. He's the funniest.
He's great.
Yeah.
Last time I was in St. Louis, I hung out with the guy from Perfect Strangers that was not Belky.
How did that happen?
He's from there, and I hung out with his friends, and I think someone put something in my drink. It wasn't him, but I don't remember most of the night, and I took many Ubers to different parts of town. It was a learning experience, but again, rich, very wealthy financiers, and I trusted them.
I told you.
And then
you.
I had to follow the paper trail and see what I'd done that night.
Oh, no.
At one point, I
purchased. Really got to be careful.
Yeah. But I loved the city. I had a great time. I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
Other than being drugged.
Other than that it does have so much to offer,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. And maybe I was offered those things, but I was so out of it, I don't recall.
There's a great grocery store called Schnucks. That's the big one. Listen, there's a lot going on in St. Louis for sure. You know, there's just so much at all times.
You could go in the elevator on the top of that arch?
Yes, you can.
It's like a Wonka-vader. It goes sideways at one point, right?
Yeah, my friend works there, and she told me that she can't drink coffee when she works at the top of it because there's no bathroom.
Oh,
wow.
So once you're up, only four people can go up at a time, and only four people can go down at a time.
Mm-mm.
Wow, it's like a smoke jumper's lookout station.
And so you can't go to the bathroom. There's no bathroom up there.
Wow.
There's no way I could do that.
Does that arch ever get struck by lightning?
Not that I know of, but they thought, you know, a big thing in St. Louis, they didn't think those two arches were going to meet in the middle.
When they built it?
Yeah, they built it up the sides on both sides, and nobody thought it was going to meet.
Really? They didn't have a plan?
You know, I think that maybe just a lot of people doubted.
A lot of negativity.
They say, show me. Show me it's going to work.
Is that what they mean by that?
Uh-huh.
The show me stain.
Yeah.
Show me that arch is actually going to.
Yeah. Let me see it for myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you have fun at that festival?
Oh, yeah. Who's got a little doggy? I got a little doggy here.
I'm so sorry. I put my dogs want to be in here with me when I record, but they are too noisy. And then I put them outside and they stay good for like 35 minutes. And then mm-hmm. my dog, Frank, he just can't take it anymore. He has to punish me for leaving him out.
Yeah, my dog punishes me when I take a shower. Screaming. He starts screaming.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's like a Yorkie in Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Big, huge, huge Yorkie. Too big.
A gigantic Yorkie.
Yeah, about 18 pounds.
Do Yorkies have like Wilford Brimley mustaches?
Someone just recently said that, like, he kind of looks like a really hot possum.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the hot possum breed.
Yeah, like a sexy possum.
Oh, a sexy, sensual possum. Let's get a leopard sweater for this hot possum.
That is the expression I was also looking for.
Yeah, I have a way. I have a way with it. Yeah. I see the gap, and I fill it in with the right information. I wanted to talk to you about, in New York, and I worry about them during the wintertime, do you have these little cute delivery robots?
No.
They are in, like, Beverly Hills here and Hollywood, these cute little robots on four wheels. It's a little box, and it reminds me of Wall-E, and they're really cute, and they're really cautious. They're delivering food, I think, usually. Like, it'll be a Postmates logo on the side.
Whoa.
But they're really cautious when they cross streets. And they say, excuse me, when you get out of the way. And they say, thank you. And I worry about their well-being. And I really love these robots. And it's bizarre that I think most people see it as a scary sign of the future. Because it's a robot on the sidewalk with an antenna.
Whoa.
But I love them, and I'm concerned for them, and I wondered if you'd seen them in New York and how they deal with snow.
I don't think they're in New York yet.
Well, they're just slowly... Are you seeing them, Karen?
I have seen people post pictures of them who live in, I think, Hollywood, like more central. I've never seen them in person.
I don't know why I like them so much. It's not what I expected, but I really... want to dress them up. I worry about them being vandalized in a way that I'm like, would stand up for one.
Are you talking about this because we were talking about having dogs and you were like, this is the closest thing I can think of?
Yeah, it's the closest thing I have to a pet is I have access, if I drive to the right neighborhood, these little robots that I've built a little friendships with. And I think it's mutual. If I saw a group of ne'er-do-wells hitting one with a baseball bat, I think I would intervene and say, leave it alone. You know,
oh.
I really worry about them. This sounds crazy, but I really like these little delivery robots. I think they're just cute.
Well, you're made for the future where you empathize with machines. I mean, that's, you're going to do great.
Yeah. I cry at the end of Terminator 3. They can develop emotions.
When he goes down into that molten lava.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
Can I say something kind of controversial?
Yeah.
Please.
That's the reason we do this.
Okay. So I saw Terminator recently.
The first one?
Yeah. And I thought the only good scene was when those two ladies were getting ready.
Her roommates?
Yeah. And then he goes and kills her. And that scene is done. And there's nothing else like that in the whole... That was the best part of that whole movie.
I don't even remember this. He kills some innocent...
Sarah Connor's roommates.
They're putting makeup on in front of the mirror, having a good time, laughing. He comes in and blows her up. Done.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my God. Why don't I remember that? I blocked it out, I guess.
It's when he first starts to go find her. I have to say, this is a controversial opinion of yours, Joe, because... I find the love story in that movie that is such a classic 80s boy action movie, but the love story between Sarah Connor and her future babies.
Yes. John Connor.
Is so romantic. Like, cause they're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
No, didn't do it.
Yeah.
For you?
No, I see that. I think it does. I see what you're saying. I think that's another highlight of the movie, I would say. I'd say the worst part's that freaking robot.
I remember on VHS watching their love scene repeatedly, but I don't think it was coming from the heart. I think I was just a young boy, and it's the closest we had to adult film. But it was important to me, their relationship.
Well, I think you should give that little scene of them getting ready a rewatch. It's
that
really
sounds awful. That sounds
it's
like
true. Like you feel like they really are friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds it's like great. A scene from RoboCop, a much more violent. That's a disturbing movie.
It is. I never seen that one.
It's very. Don't bother. It'll put you in a dark place.
Oh, I don't need that.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Not in the 20 degrees.
No,
St.
not
Louis
after
situation.
I had this uplifting conversation. I can't go back down.
Don't go. Don't go back,
Joe. Two of the. The stories from your stand-up or jokes that had stories involved that I liked the most, I related very much to having a comedy haircut because I had one after quarantine, and that comedian was Carrot Top. I had long carrot toppy hair, and I had to deal with that, and I said goodbye to it because I was confronted by the fact I had comedy-specific hair. And then also your little fifth grade boyfriend that would break up with you every Friday to do God knows what on the weekends, only to get back together with you on Monday.
Is that why you did it? Because he wanted the weekends free?
Yeah. What do you think was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, he probably had some other fifth grader on the weekends.
Oh, that's awful.
It's really tough, you know, to think about. It's kind of just that Monday through Friday gal.
Yeah. Ugh. I had a little sixth grade girlfriend. She was so cute and I liked her. And she broke up with me 10 times.
10 times?
Because I was too scared to try and kiss her. And all of her friends would gather around and they'd heckle us. And it was very traumatic.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway, I related to your comedy.
You kind of piggybacked on Joe's tragedy with your own tragedy.
I do that. I do.
I thought that was really love. I loved that. You know, to hear someone else is getting dumped, that's the best thing you can think of. When you get dumped, to hear someone else got dumped, that's the only thing you want to hear.
True.
And how did he just called you up and what did he say?
You dumped. I mean, it was really kind of a classic economy of words there.
Yeah. You dumped.
I imagine
that's
him
horrible.
On the phone. The hand that wasn't holding the phone was doing something like this with his thumb. You dumped. And he was motioning.
I kind of imagined an index finger pointing downward.
Yeah. Oh.
You dumped.
Yeah.
That is more of a burn, yeah.
Yeah, it's really brutal. I brought it up. Worst case scenario, he's holding the Milky Way. He take a big bite after. You know, it's really brutal. I don't know if you feel this way, but I'm always, every time I've, like, every time I do something, I'm like, wow, this is cool. Look at this. People, check it out. And then afterwards, like a few years later, I'm just horrified that it's even out in the world. I'm so horrified. And then you said that you listened to it. And I think, oh, God, wow.
What would you do
that for? But it does always horrify me. Does that happen to you, that timeline, or does that not happen?
Oh, it happens. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time.
I do comedy for a living, and I'm petrified that people are listening to it when I'm not around.
When I put out a comedy album, I had to pretend it didn't exist for like 5 years. But because I was like, how did I even do that? How did I get that done? And then I was just like, I don't want to hear about it. If you have anything to say about it, that's your business. Like a real shame avoidance issue.
But things change when those big fat checks start rolling in, huh? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. It was really, can I just say for this, that particular album? So I hadn't gotten any money from it. And I was like, well, what the hell's going on here? And, you know, I'm getting real confident, you know what I mean? Because it's been a few years and I forgot it existed. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe that's an income source. And so then, you know, I get all fired up. Well, then I say, yeah, what? This is interesting. I haven't seen one pretty cent. I was so self-righteous. And then they were like, oh, well, you still haven't made your advance up. But this was years later. This was so many, like 7 years later. They're like, you still, but when you do make up that advance, we'll be the first to let you know. It was like, oh, but the advance was so small. I mean, it was really, it was a humbling moment. And that, you know, that's where you can't really, I just had to respond, thank you so much to that email. That was...
Wait, what's the name of that album, Joe?
I couldn't possibly
tell you. Or the one that you have. You know what we could, if you don't want to mention albums, can we hear about this game that you invented, the card game? I think it's amazing that you're an inventor of games.
So this game, it's called Fruits.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically what you're trying to do is, it's kind of a game of strategy and chance. But basically what you're trying to do is get bunches of three of the same fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like apples and bananas and grapes. But then what happens is you can, some people can thwart your efforts by putting mice or locusts on.
Really?
On, but you can, you know, you can double your points with a pie. Kind of like gin rummy meets Uno meets...
farming.
So this is basically, is like from 8 to 80, anyone can play this game?
That is indeed the truth. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, my 95-year-old grandpa just learned it. They learned it. So over 80. It's confirmed.
Fruits. And is this available anywhere on the Joe Firestone website? Where can we get it?
Oh, it's available anywhere you can find it. But it's, you know, I think that we had like a little release party. And like 30 people were playing this game, 30 adults.
Mm-hmm.
And they were eating Blow Pops. And it just, to see a group of adults eating Blow Pops playing a colorful card game, it's really, it makes you think, what's going on here? You know, it's really, it's a very interesting picture. It's a wholesome
game.
Yeah,
I think that sounds wholesome.
Because have you played Apples to Apples? Which is
yes.
Not, I love that game. We had a game night going through quarantine with the same kind of five or six people. And we usually ended up playing, because there was lots of choices, obviously, but we would end up playing Apples to Apples because it was kind of funny and easy and kind of low-key. And it sounds to me like Fruits is very similar in that way.
I did it with this guy, Josh Knapp. We tried to make a game you could play in the hospital.
Just to get you back on your feet?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, like, there's like, you want to play something in the hospital that's not like something that you could focus on a little bit, but not have to focus on too much.
Yeah. Yes.
Hospital game.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It'll just put a little spring in your step.
It'll put a little fluid in your IV bag. Hopefully.
If you're going to the hospital, grab your fruits.
Because you don't know how long you'll be there.
Yeah.
But
can I just ask one thing?
Please.
About what this podcast was like before COVID.
Yeah.
Who drives?
Karen. Karen is much better at talking and driving. You combine them, and everyone's life is in danger. Or I'm driving well, and I'm not even listening to anyone talk. So we learned very quickly that Karen's the better multitasker.
And then do you sit in the front seat?
We do. We don't look at each other. It's profile to profile. I rarely glance over. It wasn't until we started doing Zoom that I started to look at Karen's face.
I'd never seen Chris's right eye until quarantine.
Yeah, she thought I was this weird cyclops for so long.
But I accepted him, and I think that's why it worked. Yeah, we can't wait to get back in the car. So everybody that does the Zoom version of the podcast gets to automatically get rebooked for when we're real again.
So if you're in town doing your comedy concerts, as you like to call them, I demand you call them. We can take you to your show. And occasionally we still do airport pickups at Burbank only.
Burbank only. LAX is too difficult.
Yeah, it's too
there was a lot of fighting at LAX.
Yeah, it became too violent.
Okay, well, I wouldn't want to get into violence right away.
No.
Not right away.
Okay, I'll go to Burbank. No problem.
Okay, perfect. Terrific.
Yeah,
perfect.
Just pay a few $100 more on your flight for the purposes of being in our podcast, and we will love you for it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You're a delight to speak with.
You're hilarious.
Yeah.
You both are so funny, and I really am I was so honored to be asked to be on it. This is such a dream. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks. It's nice of you to say. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR! This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DYNAR Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.